Recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 25th of March, 2015. On the call today, we have Carlos Raul Gutierrez, Greg Shatton, Ann Aikman Scalise, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Alan Greenberg, and Amr Eldar. I show apologies from Chuck Gomes and Alivi Kwame, as well as Michael Graham. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Marika Koenig, Karen Lenz, Caitlin Turbkin, Barry Cobb, Steve Chan, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Mary.
Thanks, Terry. And hello, everybody. This is Mary from ICANN staff, in case you're joining late. I'm still going to try and get back into Adobe and my other guys, but I think what you're seeing now in Adobe is the document, the latest version of which was sent out by Marika a day or two ago. And so I guess what we can do, unless folks have comments or follow-ups from the discussion last week, is to continue from where we left off. Does anybody have any comments or other suggestions?
Sounds good to me.
Hi, Mary, it's Ann Aikman Scalise.
Hi, Ann. And,
did Chuck and Alan say that we would very quickly review the addition of Alan's comments, or what was the final determination about how we would process what Alan had put in for the previous, the topics discussed previously? And maybe there isn't that much, Alan. I'm not sure.
So this is Marika. I can maybe update on that. So we did insert Alan's comments, which may be A-like comments, depending on the outcome of the poll or the vote I think they're having. So basically, they're already in the document. And I think the only one that we basically passed over, if you look back, is the one that's currently labeled as 3.11, which was very helpful in relation to the working definitions, which probably means we don't really need to go back to that, as it is very helpful. And all the other ones will basically show up in the sequence as we're going through them, as we're currently, I believe, at what is now 4.7, which will then, I think, get us to the next ALOC comment or Alan's comment. Let me see where that is, I think, which is 4.19. So the only one we really like kind of missed is the one on 3.11, which is very helpful. And my suggestion is, I'm looking at Alan, if he doesn't object, we'll just use the same thing as we've used for the other ones that said very helpful, which is noted.
Yeah.
And he's nodding yes, so I think we can note that for the next version and probably just continue where we left off last time.
Great. Thank you, Marika.
Okay, thanks, Marika. I wasn't sure exactly where the insertion was, so pointing out 3.11 was very useful to me and everybody. So as you said, I think that brings us to 4.7, which you should be able to see on Adobe or if you have your own documents and laptops in front of you. And so this is Principle C2C. And I don't think I need to read that. And it seems like here we have a comment from the registry stakeholder group agreeing, especially the emphasis on core value 4, but noting again the need for communication. Do we have a working group response, follow-up, or addition?
Noted? I think it's a noted one.
Cheryl's speaking
okay.
For the record.
Well, Cheryl's about to pick a tea, that's why. Seriously, Mary, I am. Yes, for the record, noted. I'm always for full disclosure. You know that.
Oh yes, we do, and we appreciate it. So I put there noted in the column under working group response, for which I assume, therefore, we don't need to have a separate action at the moment. Moving on, therefore, to 4.8, which is now at Principle D, and this is D1, about examining or the need to examine changes to implementation guidance. And in all cases, the GNSO would have the right to challenge whether the updates require any further review. On this particular one, and I'm going down a little bit in the document, there doesn't seem to be, this was a comment by the registry stakeholder group, and so the question is whether anyone has any comments or questions or follow-up.
So this is Maria. Just to clarify, I think that the registries here are suggesting a specific change to change community to GNSO so that it would read, in all cases, the GNSO maintains the right to challenge whether such updates need further review for policy implementation.
Almost what the original says, is the chair speaking.
This is Maria. I don't think it's reversing, but I think it's narrowing it.
Very much narrowing. Yeah.
So I think the question is, do people agree with that, object to that?
And by this is meant the entire GNSO, not the GNSO Council?
This is it currently says GNSO, so that's,
entire.
Right, so I should make clear that was the suggested change, as you see in the strikeout.
Yeah. Greg, have you got an opinion there? I mean, I'm not going to die on this. This is Cheryl for the record. I'm not going to die on a ditch over this one, but it bothers me slightly that we have gone to some extent to ensure that all of the significantly interested parties, affected parties, stakeholder groups, and beyond the narrow definition of stakeholder group operational within the GNSO structure was written into some of this. That term, in my view, is the term community. And so to reduce it, narrow, as Marika said, to GNSO, whilst I wouldn't die in the ditch about it, I do think it makes me uncomfortable. And it may be that others more concerned about the necessity, the requirement, and indeed the utter rights of community beyond GNSO, if they are affected and if they are under classifications that we've already agreed as being affected, should be able to have an ability to challenge whether such updates need further review. However, that's just raising it for the record. As I said, it makes me uncomfortable, but not sufficiently that I'm going to leap up and down and say, no, it can't happen. But I think we should be so warned as opposed to noted on this one.
Sorry, it's
Thanks,
Alan.
Cheryl.
Alan,
I think Amar had his hand up. Do you mind if I go to Amar first?
Not at all.
Thank you. Amar, go ahead.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Alan. Actually, I thought I took it back down, but I think I was basically going to say what Cheryl said very well. I wouldn't feel too strongly about it to the extent that I would object to a change, but I do agree with Cheryl. I think the key word here is challenge. The word challenge, and we should, in this principle, leave it open to the entire community, not narrowly defined. The GNSO is the only community or part of the community that is allowed to challenge policy implications that may come up. I think later on in the initial report, the description of the different processes we're suggesting make it clear what the role of the GNSO and the GNSO Council is, but in principle, I think we should leave the option to challenge wider, beyond just the GNSO. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. Alan?
I support exactly what Amar just said. I'm not sure I'd go to the wall over it, but I feel stronger than Cheryl does.
What is the rationale for the change? Was there a rationale made for the change in the first place from community to GNSO?
This is Marika. I think the suggestion in here are as they were made, and maybe this is something where we may want to just put a note in that we have, you know, Chuck clarify on the next meeting what was really the intention, because I don't think we have any registry representatives on the call for now. Maybe we could just know that, you know, in principle, the working group does not support making this change, but would like to hear for the rationale from the registry stakeholder group representatives on why they're making that suggestion.
Greg, I'm not for it or against it yet because I don't understand why it might make sense, and therefore I can't figure out why I disagree with that. I see the problems with it, that I think Alan and Cheryl do. I'm wondering if we're equally free with the idea that the GAC could make an objection or challenge under this as well. I mean, this is their community too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's open season for everybody. But, you know, if we are comfortable with that.
But it's a challenge, it's not an action.
Yes, it's a challenge.
Yeah, and this is Marika as well, to reaffirm, indeed, it's talking about, you know, challenging, it's not necessarily meaning that you're, if you challenge, you automatically
right.
get what you want, but I understand your point.
And generally, I think we disfavor voicelessness strongly.
Thanks, folks. I see Anne has her hand up and then Alan, so let's go to Anne.
Yes, thank you. It's Anne for the transcript. I basically agree with Marika's approach to this question in terms of moving through it, but if I put myself in the place of the registry stakeholder group, I would see it as a jurisdictional matter where their point of view would be, well, GNSO is, you know, charged with policymaking. Now, I think that, you know, what we can all see is that policy advice comes from other quarters as well, several other quarters. And so, but I do think that they may be trying to say that these principles would be adopted by GNSO, but not necessarily by other groups, and maybe sort of a jurisdictional delineation. But I do agree with Marika's approach procedurally to the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Alan? Alan, are you there?
Oh, sorry, I didn't have control of the mute button. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Let's assume you can. Saying that no one else can challenge is akin to saying, for instance, with respect to the GAC, wait till it goes to the board and then raise the issue. That's exactly what we're trying to work against these days. There's a number of people, the governments and at large, that don't have a seat in the GNSO. We don't have a seat on the GNSO Council. We don't have a seat. We don't have, occupy a space within the GNSO itself. I just can't see the logic of saying no one else can raise an issue they think is important at a time when issues can be raised otherwise. You know, we're back in the time of a few years ago when we had to find a friend in the GNSO to say something on our behalf. I just think that's working backwards. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. So it sounds like at least the folks on the call believe that unless there's a rationale that we're not seeing, and you've suggested one, and we certainly would check back with Chuck and the registries, that this narrowing is probably not advisable. So let's just keep it there, and we obviously would have to check with everyone as we get through the document. Let's then go to the next issue as soon as I can get the typing done, and I think I'm done. So,
Mary, this is Amr. Can I have one final?
Yep. Sorry, we have Alan, and then we have Amr. I just saw the hands. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. Your note says check with Chuck on jurisdictional issues or something like that. I think it's check with Chuck for the rationale.
Right. That was the idea.
Yeah.
Let's get the right words in there.
I'm just realizing my shorthand probably doesn't make sense to anyone but me. Thank you, Alan. Amr?
Thanks, Mary. This is Amr. I think it would also be helpful to point out to the registry stakeholder group or any other stakeholder group or SORAC that provided comments that when addressing specific principles, it's important to recognize them within the context of all the principles and how they complete each other. Because although we're giving the community the right to make challenges in this principle, there are other principles that require that input from different stakeholders, and the word stakeholders is defined, is done in a timely manner, that it's done in accordance with the process and how it works. So I just think it's important that people don't nitpick on individual principles all alone, but try to think of them within the context of what the principles on all together are trying to achieve. Thanks.
Okay. So basically we're saying that, you know, at the end of this, the working group will need to review each principle as amended in the context of all of the principles, something like that. And I can reword it to be more elegant after this call, as long as we know where we are. Anne, you had a comment about this?
Summer again. Sorry. Yeah, if I could follow up on this real quick.
Sure.
It's not just about the working group reviewing any changes to the principles, but also I think when we came up with these principles, we were very aware of how they presented a sort of a complete picture of what we see in terms of principles for policy and implementation and the community's involvement. So also asking folks who are submitting feedback on these principles to also look at them in that light and not consider one principle independently all alone as a standalone principle, because I think together they really complete each other, and I think we were very thorough in doing this early on in the work of this working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. Anne?
Yes, thanks, Mary. It's Anne. I think one question this raises, and I certainly don't disagree with all that's been said, but the question it may raise is whether the working group wants to recommend that other groups within the community review and adopt these same principles. And I think that's an overall bigger question for our final report. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. And I think we'll certainly bear that in mind as well. Again, it will be helpful once we actually get through this to look at it more holistically, which is partly what Amma suggested, and I hope I've captured the other part of what you suggested as well. So if we go to 4.9 then, and this is principle.
And Mary, can you note that question that I raised in the notes as to whether the working group, I'm sorry, it's Anne again, noting the question whether the working group wants to recommend that other parts of the community review and adopt the principles?
Yep, doing it right now.
Great, thank you.
Marika, you've got your hand up.
This is Marika. Just to add a question or point, I think at this stage, you know, this is for the June or so. I don't think, you know, of course, we can always ask other groups if they want to look at it or approve it, but in principle, these are recommendations that will go to the June or so council and subsequently to the board. However, this is also something that is flagged as part of the ATRT 2 recommendations that have recommended that the board look closer at the policy and implementation functions at ICANN. So I think basically the staff recommendation has been there to maybe first await the outcome of this effort to determine whether anything that comes out of here may also be applicable or of interest to other parts of the community. And it also goes back to the initial conversations, because this conversation did start out with the involvement of all the SOs and ACs, I think going back to the ICANN meeting in Beijing. But at that stage, it was quite obvious, I think, that the other groups were less interested to actively pursue this. Mm-hmm. So at that stage, I think GNSO Council decided, okay, let's basically look at it from a GNSO perspective, but that shouldn't preclude whatever we come up with possibly being applicable or endorsed by other parts of the community. So I think it's something we can flag, and I know it's, just want to note as well, it's something that's already being flagged as part of the ATRT2 recommendations. So I think it's worth noting, but it may not be in scope specifically for this working group to make recommendations on, but just to know that it's definitely something that is being considered and not being forgotten or lost.
Thanks, Marika. Alan, did you have a comment on this point?
Yes, I did. For those who have been following, I don't really remember whether it's the IANA CWG or the Accountability CCWG, but there has been significant discussion, disagreement, and dispute over how the word consensus is used.
Oh, yeah.
And more specifically, with how different the GNSO use of the term is from other groups. Given all that, we have a far way to go before we're going to unify practices across ICANN. And so I think we need to take a gentle position on that, because if we try, the GNSO is going to be a significant part of the group that's going to have to change its process and its use of terms. It's not everyone else going to adopt the GNSOs. So nice thing to keep in the back of our mind, but let's keep it there.
Thanks, Alan. So I think that means we can move on to 4.9, Principle D1C. And again, this is a comment from the Registry Stakeholder Group. And you see there on the screen that it seems to be a transposition here, trying to clarify that when we made the recommendation of a transparent change, I guess it meant that the changes are fully transparent. Are there any comments about this, or is this another noted?
Yeah, it's Cheryl here. That got some noted from me.
Well, that was easy.
It won't all be like that. Fear not.
Well, we have a hand from Anne and one from Amma. So, Anne, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mary. It's Anne. It looks to me as though what they're trying to change is the noun being modified so that it's the recommendations that are fully transparent, not the changes. Because the changes would, of course, ultimately be fully transparent, but I think they're trying to emphasize that the recommendations be transparent. Just looks like a different noun being modified.
Thanks, Anne. And maybe we can all sort of look at it and see if we have the same reading as Anne does, because you're right. I think that makes a little bit of a difference as to what the adjective transparent refers to. While we do that, let's go to Amma.
Oh, thanks, Mary. This is Amma. Yeah, I actually like this suggestion, and I would personally recommend that we do make the change that the Registry Stakeholder Group suggested here. I think the issue here is the way we worded it. We're sort of giving staff the ability to make transparent changes as opposed to require them to be transparent when making the changes. And I think this is what the Registry Stakeholder Group were trying to point out. So I actually like the suggested language they provided, and I would recommend we adopt it. Thanks.
Thanks, Amma. Greg, you had your hand up, but you took it down again, so I don't know if you wanted to say something about this. And there you are. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. This is a little lag in connectivity. I think here that the transparent here is modifying changes, and that's what we want it to do. So I think we're in good shape.
Okay. Excellent. So then we move to 4.10, and here we get a comment from the Brand Registry Group, and they support the concept of developing principles to guide policy and principles to guide implementation. Marika, I don't know if there's any more detail you want to add to this, or if this is a general statement that we can simply note and agree with.
Yeah, this is Rick. There was actually nothing more to it in their comments, so I think we can just take it as is. And
motherhood and apple pie.
Yeah, record.
It's another thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fatherhood and cherry pie.
That'll do me.
I'm not putting any reference to pies in this document at the moment, folks, just so you know. M&M's maybe. So at 4:11, it's the same or similar. I'm sorry, Marika, did you have a hand up again, or was that from before?
This is Marika. This is actually in relation to 4:11. So I just wanted to point out, because basically the comment or the response that was received as part of the survey said, yes, does support adoption, taking into account the following comments. But actually no comments were made as part of the survey. And this is one of those responses where someone did a couple of the questions but then didn't do any of the others. So, and again, this is purely my personal interpretation, but it may be that someone just tried to test the survey to see how it works. And as that, as the person taking into account the following comments but actually didn't note any comments, may support that assumption. So just my suggestion to, maybe just put noted and not pay any further attention to this, because we don't have any further information on what those particular comments could or might be. And as I said, there's no anything else in the survey, I think, from this person. Maybe the next question he possibly responded to as well, but none of the other ones.
The only other alternative is to go and ask the person.
Well, I think that we did talk last week about going back to different people, so there's always the possibility, I suppose, if we feel that it's helpful at any one stage or for any one comment. Marika, the next two, 4:12 and 4:13, two different commenters, but in 4:12, Wisdom says yes, and 4:13, the next commenter said no. Do you have any refreshes as to what 4:12 and 13 were?
So this is Marika. So both of these responses are in the similar category as the Heron de Vega comment. I think they both filled in a couple of the questions, but not all. And, none of them actually provided further details. So, again, my assumption is that some of them were just, testing the survey and see how it worked and not necessarily disagreeing with the recommendations made, as, again, they didn't provide any detail as to, why they said no or yes. So I know it's hard for the working group to make a call on that, not having further information, but as I said, the record we do have. And again, these survey responses were actually recorded by the survey tool as non-complete. So I think the normal approach would have been to actually disregard them. But, I did include them as I think we wanted to be complete, but I did want to make that note that, my assumption, and again, it's my personal interpretation, is that some of these people may have just logged in to see what it looked like, what it took, maybe clicked a few boxes and then actually went away and didn't formally submit anything. So, again, I think we should just, indeed, as Mary is putting in the chat, just put there noted, and unless someone is coming forward with further details as to why they said no, maybe just not give further consideration to it, as again, these were incomplete survey responses and not formally submitted as such. So noted may be sufficient at this stage.
I think since the survey tool becomes a part of the public record, I think it should say the survey was not formally submitted, not actually submitted. Incomplete and not submitted.
And it's something we can add to the survey tool to maybe make that clear when people look at it.
Maybe when you list the respondents, you can put that parenthetically under them, so not having to repeat it.
Okay. Thank you, Marika, Alan, and everyone. That seems reasonable. So that was 4:12 and 13. And I want to apologize. My screen occasionally goes blank because I have it on full screen on my second one, and so sometimes when I reach the bottom, I have a little bit of a lag too, apparently. So here we come to a comment by Carlos on 4:14, and Carlos, if you have any additions to your comment. You did have a yes, but you did provide additional comments regarding, for example, the GNSO-centric nature of the implementation principles, noting that there this may the status quo may change, and this is somewhat similar to earlier comments that we discussed on this call with regard to a different principle that, you know, it's more than just a GNSO. Your point here being that it's going to be multi-script, multi-language. And so your comment is that as this is a process of evolution, there may be a sort of cutoff point or some kind of overlap that we need to deal with. Does anyone have any comments or questions? I'm sorry. Actually, Carlos, you have your hand up. So would you like to elaborate?
Yes, this is Carlos for the record. Thank you, Mary. I happen to recognize that there is an Annex H, I think, where we start dealing with the next phase, with the GDD, the people who at some point will take over. And there have been also discussions what is the relationship between GDD and compliance of the contracts. And when I say it's a little bit GNSO-centric, it's not a critique. It's just recognizing we're working only within the boundaries of the GNSO. And as previously noted in this call, well, there might be comments from other parts of the community, et cetera, and so on. And I think it's at the end of my comments that I say I miss a step-by-step approach where the GNSO develops policy, the board approves, and then there is implementation. And then the people who are dealing with the results on the contracts will be other people, will be the people who deal with registrars and registries. And when there is a problem, then there might be a compliance or things like that. I need this continuum with you. I start seeing the issue popping up, but only in Annex H at the very end of the document. And I miss like a flow at the very beginning of the discussion. And that is the only point I'm trying to make in
right.
my response to the survey, that the boundaries are really narrow and we're hitting these boundaries often, it seems. Thank you very much.
Not at all. And thank you for such a detailed comment. And in fact, I suppose this is one of the general issues that this working group has been dealing with, that the whether you call it an overlap or a continuum or a little bit of both, the policy implementation phases. Alan, and then Anne.
Thank you very much. I don't have the principles in front of me, so I'm working blind right now. But certainly from the perspective of those of us who have participated in a fair number of policy development processes, we've always assumed that other parts of ICANN, as necessary, be brought into both the discussion on the policy and the implementation when it was applicable. So PDPs do get input from compliance, for instance, do discuss, make sure that the wording of the recommendations are enforceable and usable by compliance, as an example. Legal certainly gets involved in it. So if the principles really are GNSO-centric and imply that they're not involved in any of these processes, then we do need to fix the principles. I would need to go back and look at them, certainly from the perspective of those that wrote the principles or that were involved in the discussions. We were not trying to be GNSO-centric, and I think we were probably sensitive to it as they were being written. So, you know, if there is a problem, then we need to fix it. But maybe, Carlos, you need to be more specific and identify which ones, because that certainly was not the intent when they were written.
Thanks, Alan. And let's go to Anne. And Carlos, if you wanted to respond to that, please go ahead after Anne.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. It's Anne. And I think that Alan makes a good point about making sure that our principles are inclusive of other members of the community. That's a personal point of view. But I am also wondering, I'd like to ask Carlos, at the end of these comments, there's a statement which almost looks to me like another principle that he's suggesting, because it says there should be a clear separation between policy development and day-to-day operations, and there should be internal checks and balances as are being discussed in the accountability CCWG. So I would like to ask Carlos if that is a recommendation for an additional principle, or what is intended there. Thank you.
Thank you. And Greg, do you mind if I go to Carlos and come back to you?
He said go ahead. I think I've got you.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I'll take that as a yes. Thank you, Greg. So, Carlos, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. This is Carlos for the record. Maybe I didn't use the right words. I didn't mean to be very harsh with GNSO-centric, but if you take it to the extreme, there is a tendency of a circularity here. We develop policy. It's not clear. We go back. We go back on level one, and then we can go back on level two, and then we can even develop the policy, etc. And what I miss is a cutting point where we pass over these to the day-to-day business, as Anne just mentioned. There must be a point where it says, okay, good, the GNSO and the staff that has been involved here finish the work. Everything should be clear, and now it's a different condition. It's a different world. Now, it has to be translated into Chinese and Russian, and the questions might be of translation, not of principle. Alan said it has to be very clear. Well, what a challenge we have here in many jurisdictions, in many languages. I hope these questions don't come back to the GNSO and the implementation staff. I hope these questions are dealt with in a different place. As I say, there we go to Annex H and the GDD. And, of course, the GDD participates, gives input, and says, hey, wait, if you don't clear up, we might have trouble down the road, and so on. So it's a question, at what time do we stop this danger of circularity here, of what we are proposing, and just give it over? It's over. It's not a policy issue anymore. It has been clearly said how it's going to be implemented. Now it's out there in the contracts. I don't want to go further here. I don't think it's an issue of principle. I'm not trying to develop a principle. I'm just trying to see when does it end? When do we stop going into circularity? Because I get a feeling that these three mechanisms tend to give a perpetuation of an internal discussion within the GSO. And I just want to have it clear, okay, at some point there is a cutting point. It's out. The baby is 18 years old. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Carlos. I mean, it does seem to me anyway that you know, you're making a general point and a couple of specific ones, like Anne noted as well. And the general point seems to me that, first of all, that it's difficult to distinguish between when something is pure policy and when pure implementation, so there's a little bit of fuzziness and overlap, but there's a caution against, you know, delaying and going back to the well too often. You actually also had a very specific suggestion or comment about the need to make these principles clear in different languages. So I guess I'll ask the working group if they wanted to highlight that or any of that in particular. And while we think about that, Greg, thanks for being patient.
Thanks. It's Greg Chatton, and I see Amr's note in the chat, which, you know, similar to what I was thinking, which is that this is about implementing GNSO policy recommendations, and therefore it should be GNSO-centric. The GNSO has a role to play, and that role is not a role that's only played in one script or one language. It's a role that's played in terms of all GTLDs. And, you know, the GNSO, that is the GNSO's role, so unless we're changing the GNSO's role, this should be a GNSO-centric process. You know, this is, you know, not necessarily in every aspect, so for instance, the idea that some other part of the community could challenge what we were talking about earlier, it's appropriate to have challenges come from outside the GNSO, but when we're talking about implementing GNSO policy, that is, you know, an offshoot of GNSO activity and falls under our overall remit.
Thanks, Greg. And I think that that's probably something that Carlos would acknowledge as well. So maybe what we can do is have these comments, some of the notes that I've put in, and we can say that, you know, noted the suggestions, or the suggestions are noted, unless someone else has something else. Anne?
Yes, thank you, Mary. It's Anne. Just further to what this discussion that Amr and Greg have raised, the implementation recommendations that we are making, I think those go beyond GNSO policy recommendations, because when the board itself makes policy, it takes into account GNSO policy recommendations, DAC advisory letters from ALAC. So I think that as a group, we are making recommendations about implementation that apply to more than GNSO policy recommendations. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. So we have the working group response, but there's probably not a separate additional follow-up action, unless, Greg, you had a suggestion here?
I just wanted to respectfully disagree with what Anne said. Thanks.
Can you elaborate, please, Greg, because it's Anne again, but, you know, my point of view is that the board adopts policy. It may not always be exactly what the GNSO has recommended, and yet it can be adopted and then implemented, and has been.
Greg, do you have a response?
Sure. I think, you know, first, it is GNSO policy that is being adopted. They have to adopt what we send, or unless they reject it by a supermajority vote, in which case they send it back to the GNSO, which then tries to get it right so that it can be passed by the board. So it is GNSO policy. I think it would be, in a sense, marginalizing the GNSO or diminishing its remit to say that this does not fall under the GNSO umbrella.
Oh, no, it definitely falls under GNSO umbrella. Maybe where we're, again, I think this goes back to sometimes the battle between, you know, reconciling GAC advice with GNSO policymaking, and how that can sometimes result in implementation, which is, I think our recommendations would still apply to, you know, compromise policymaking and implementation, regardless of whether it's exactly the policy that the GNSO had initially recommended. Am I wrong about that?
Can I step in here and note first that, you know, maybe this discussion seems to be going a little beyond what Carlos intended by his comments, so we can come back to that as part of a broader discussion. But secondly, Amr and Alan have their hands up, so they might want to add some of their comments to this as well. So let's go to Amr.
Thanks, Mary. This is Amr. I think you're right. We probably are deviating off course, but just wanted to say that I very much agree with what Greg just said. Let's try to look at these principles collectively and not just look at any one or two principles individually. There is a principle under policy that says that GTLD policy is developed by the GNSO. So when Anne may say something like the ICANN board makes policy, the ICANN board makes policy. The ICANN board is part of a process, a bottom-up process, and they're at the top of that process. And like Greg said, they can reject policy recommendations being provided by the GNSO under certain conditions, and in response to many different things, such as for example, GAC advice. But that does not mean that the ICANN board will develop policy themselves. Like Greg said, they would send it back to the GNSO and saying this is a policy recommendation that we have rejected, and the GNSO needs to look into it, because there is that principle there that says that GTLD policy is developed in the GNSO. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. And we'll go to Ellen, but I'll note that we had scheduled this call for an hour, so we are reaching the end of it. So we may have to cut off discussions very shortly. In the meantime, Ellen?
Thank you. I'll try to be relatively quick. In the past, in the minds of some, the board has created policy. That's why we're in this work group, to try to put a stop to it and try to make sure there are processes so they don't have to, because they said they don't want to. As a current example, the GNSO gave policy on the protection of IGO and INGO names. The board approved some of that. The board did not agree with some of the other stuff because it was at odds with GAC advice. The board came back to the GNSO and said, are you willing to change your advice to match what we think we want to approve? That hasn't played its way through yet, but at this point, the board seems to understand the concept that they do not make policy if they can possibly avoid it, and they hope to avoid it, and it is up to the GNSO, and that's why we're building all these processes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan, and I see that Anne agrees with you there as well. So we are 2 minutes off the hour. I do recognize that we started a little bit late, but it's also late for some people, including the folks in Istanbul after a long day there. So looking ahead, the next comment, which comes from the IPC, and I know Greg and Anne, you're on the call, but it's fairly detailed, so it may make more sense to start afresh with that comment at the next meeting. But in the meantime, if we can remind everyone in the working group who attend the next meeting to also read ahead, that may be helpful in our discussions as well. I don't see any hands or rabbit disagreement. Are there any last comments from anybody on what we discussed today or the approach going forward? I don't see any hands either. But in any case, then, I am glad to give the chair back to whoever chairs next week. Thank you all for taking the time to join the call today, especially those who are in transit, traveling, or just traveled. And, yes, Carlos, I see a note in the chat. We will send a note to the full working group via the mailing list and hope to continue this discussion next week. So thank you very much. And Terry, I think we can stop the recording.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks, Marika.
Thank you, Mary. We appreciate the effort.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Sanaya, if you can please stop the recordings.
Recording stopped.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining, and have a wonderful rest of your day.